Hey, good evening, everyone. My name's Michael. My friends call me Zig. I have a new life in Christ, and I am in recovery from pride, porn, people-pleasing, and this week, fear and control. Man, I love the opportunity that we get to start with worship every week. It's kind of really cool the way God lays things out. I actually had no idea what they were going to be singing tonight. And so I just want to start with a question that we asked or that we sang. And I just want you don't have to yell it out loud, but I just want you to take a second and just think. Do you believe that God has good plans for your life? I think if we're honest, there's probably three types of people in the room. There's some who are like, you know what, I don't know. And I want you to know that we're really glad you're here. Like you are welcomed here. I'm really honored that you would show up and begin to take steps to figure out who this God is that we are singing about. And so if you don't know him as your personal savior, but yet you're still here and you're exploring it, I want you to know that we're really thankful. But maybe you're a second type of person where you know intellectually that God has good plans for you. But if you're honest, you don't know if you experience those good plans. Candidly, that's where I was when I walked in here the first time 10 years ago. I was a believer. Christ was my Lord and Savior, but my life was a mess. And so I would have been in that bucket. But maybe you're one of the third where you have come to know the goodness of God. And you can say that, hey, I know and have experienced his good plans. And so praise God for that. We're going to be continuing our study through the different steps tonight. And I think God wants to meet each individual bucket tonight. I think he wants to meet those who are searching. He wants to meet those who are hurting or experiencing less than what he would have for them. And he wants to meet those who have come to know his goodness. And so, let me read step two, believe. It should be on the screen behind me, but it says step two, believe. We come to believe that God is the one whose power can fully restore us. And so last week, Chuck kicked us off talking about step one, admit. And if I had to summarize admit in one simple word, it would be powerless. That we are powerless to overcome our struggles, our addictions, to change ourselves. Now, we can white-knuckle it for a little bit, and we can probably change our behavior some, but we can't find true freedom on our own. And so if we are powerless to change on our own, how do we change? And step two, it really lays it out for us, that we come to believe that God is the one whose power can fully restore us. And so if you are one that is searching, tonight I hope you will get a glimpse, you have a better understanding of who our God is. If you're one who is struggling, I hope that tonight as we walk through the foundation verse for this will give you hope and spur you a little bit to lean into the power that God offers you. And if you're in that third bucket where you've experienced God's goodness, I hope this is rejoiceful to you. It is a reminder of the work that God has been doing and will continue to do. And so let's look at the foundation verse. It's where we're going to spend most of our time tonight. So the foundation verse for step two, believe, is Psalm 103, 2-5. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all of your iniquities, who heals all of your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy and satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." So there's two things I want to look at that we pull from this text tonight. And the first is God provides the benefits, and the second is God provides a way for you to receive the benefits. And so first, God provides the benefits. We look at this, I think it's really easy. This was one of the verses that when I came through Regent that God used so often throughout my experience. It was one that I continue to run back to and run back to and run back to. I literally printed it off and I put it up on the wall next to where I did my book every single day. And it was the verse that I read and read and read. And I think it's really easy to see the different things it highlights, the different benefits that it lays out. But it's so quickly also as easy to overlook the very first part where it says, forget not all his benefits. So you walk into this room probably relating with one of the lists that we're about to see, desiring to experience one of the benefits that's listed there. But I don't want us to gloss over that those benefits come from the Lord. They are his benefits. A few years ago, I had a friend call me on a Tuesday afternoon and ask me if I had any plans that night. And I didn't. And he said, hey, I want to take you to dinner. I've got tickets to this dinner at this really nice restaurant. And I was like, oh, cool, that's so kind of you. Yeah, I would love to do that. And I get to the restaurant, and it isn't just a nice restaurant. This is a one-off dinner that this super nice restaurant is offering in a private room that only certain people get the invite to. And so I show up, and I am dressed like this. Like, I am so out of place. I'm wearing a t-shirt. I had no idea what I was walking into. And I walked up and said, hey, I'm here. And they asked for my ticket or if I had anything, and I didn't. And it was when my friend came out and said, oh, he's with me, that I got to experience the benefits of our relationship. You see, before we look at all the things that God promises here, we can't overlook that these are found in God. You see, Chuck talked about last week that we need to admit that we are powerless, because so often we want to find these things on our own. And what we've got to begin to see, what step two is all about, is that God is the foundation for what we are searching for. And so, let's look at his benefits real quick. It says that he forgives all of our iniquity. There are some who have walked in this room that think that they have done something that is unforgivable. And I want you to know that that's just not true. And we'll look at why here in a second. But it says that one of the benefits of knowing God is that he forgives our iniquities. It also says that he heals our diseases, that he brings life and health back to us. He redeems our life from the pit. That was the one for me when I walked in. I felt like my life was at the bottom of a pit. And it was God that lifted me out of the pit. He brought freedom into my life. He brought me out of the darkness into the light. Goes on to say, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. Like, that's such an interesting phrase. It doesn't say that he just shows you steadfast love and mercy. It says he crowns you as an heir. Like, we talked about this several weeks ago when we were studying the different aspects of salvation, what it means to be adopted into the family of God, that we receive an inheritance because of who God is. And that inheritance that we're crowned with steadfast love and mercy. And the last one there is, he satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. My guess is for many of us in this room, we haven't been satisfied with good. That the very reason we're in this room is because we have sought satisfaction in things that are not good. I'll keep saying, that's my story. That was my addiction to pornography. The thing I ran to that I thought would bring satisfaction that ultimately only led to brokenness and death. Like, it tore things apart in my life. But yet God promises these things for us. That these are benefits of knowing him. So let's move this to our second point. We just need to ask, how did they come about? If this is what God promises, how do we actually experience these in our life? And so, point number two, God provides the way for us to receive these benefits. You see, that friend that took me to dinner, when I showed up, it wasn't as if the restaurant just allowed him to show up as well. No, he had already laid the action that was required that I could be accepted when I walked in. See, that dinner cost money, and he had already taken on the burden of that cost. And the same is true for us. You see, God's goal isn't simply that we would receive his benefits, but that we would receive him. But Chuck talked about it last week, that we are dead in our sins, that we have chosen to turn away from God, that we have broken fellowship with him. And so if it requires a relationship to be able to experience these benefits, but we have broken relationship, what hope do we have? How can we have restoration to God? And that's the beauty of who Jesus Christ is. I love how Paul says it in 1 Corinthians 1:2. He says, "For all the promises of God find their yes and amen in him." Like we just sang about it, that God has good plans for us. And that plan was not only initiated by God, but was fulfilled by God. You see, if you look through the New Testament, you'll see passages like Colossians 1, 13 and 14. And speaking about Jesus, he says, "He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness." Do you see that there? That it's actually saying Christ is the one that fulfills the redemption that's promised in Psalm 103. Christ is the one that offers us forgiveness that we saw in Psalm 103. We're transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of the beloved Son. Like that's the whole idea of being crowned, being welcomed into the family. You see, the promises that God makes in Psalm 103 are actually all fulfilled in Christ. You see, Christ has come and done for us what we could not do for ourselves. He has come, he has lived a perfect life, sinless, did not deserve to die, yet he died on a cross for your sins and for mine. The sinless became sin that we may take on his righteousness, his right standing before God. See, this should give us a ton of hope. Because when we talk about wanting to see God's power at work, we actually just have to look back. Because before we ever even knew we were in need, God was already at work to save us, to put his power on display. Before we knew that we were sinners, God was seeking to save us. Before we realized we needed a savior, God was showing us. You see, Psalm 103, while we desired those things, God has actually already fulfilled them in Christ for us. And so what that does for us is it shows us that God is powerful, that he is at work, that he is not simply waiting on us, but that he has already initiated and now invites us into this. I also love that Romans 11, 36 says, "For from him and through him and to him are all things." That him is Christ. And so you think about it, that for from him, that Christ is the means by which creation came about. That through him, that he is the one that is mediating creation. He is sustaining it. He is holding it together. And that it is for him. That all that we know was actually created for Christ. And yet he is the one that has come to save us. The ones that do not deserve to be saved, the creator, the sustainer, the one that was all for, entered into creation that he might save his people. And so as we think back on the believe step, and we look at this, that we come to believe that God is the one whose power can fully restore us, we're reminded that we're not talking about some random man but that we're talking about the God of the universe who has entered into creation and done for us what we could not do for ourselves so that he may begin to change us. And so the power that we're searching for is not found in us. It is found in Christ. And so back to those three types of people that we talked about at the very beginning. You see, if you're one who is searching, what I hope you will see tonight is that God loves you. In fact, it even says in Romans chapter 8, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he also not graciously give us all things? You have a God that loves you, and he desires to know you. Maybe you're in that second bucket where it's like, hey, I know, but I'm not experiencing. My life is marked by sin and dysfunction. I think the most honest thing you can pray is a prayer that I prayed a lot during Regen. And it was, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I believe you can, and I believe you promised you will, but help me in the areas that I don't believe. Show me that you are good, that you have good plans. And maybe you're in that last bucket. I hope that it actually, this develops in you praise, that you actually do the very thing that the psalmist calls us to, that you bless the Lord with all that is in you, that you bless his name because you have experienced him. Not simply his benefits, but you have experienced the living God that loves you. And so ultimately, what we realize here is that we have to come to realize that we do not earn God's benefits, but we trust in the work of Christ, that he has actually fulfilled all the promises for us. And so trust is the very thing that we are going to cover in step 3 next week. And so tonight, you're going to get the opportunity to hear a story of someone who has experienced God's power at work in his life. Will you please welcome to the stage, Brenner.